We're broadcasting live from Horizons here at Donegal Horizons, in fact, here at the Grand Central Letterkenny. It's still time to call Dan. It's officially sort of open to the public until 12. There are refreshments and special guests, and we've been speaking to them, some of them already so far this morning. If you want to WhatsApp or text us, just to remind you, oh, I don't think I need the jacket now, do I? 086 60 25,000, that's the WhatsApp and text number, and you can also give us a call on 074 91 25,000. If you want to email the show, it's comments@highlandradio.com. And as we had a few of you today, if you're listening to the overnighter, the replay that's broadcast in the early hours of the morning, or in fact if you wish to contact us as you listen to the podcast, please feel free to do so. comments@highlandradio.com. A caller says, I see the Gaza graffiti is spread outside Letterkenny on the back road, on the back of road signs. Defacing our country is not helping the cause, and I am very sympathetic to the plight of the poor innocent victims of this war. A caller says, my son is dyslexic. This was picked up in primary school. He's now in secondary school and will be doing his leaving cert as an LCA student. He recently won an award, a prize given for the special recognition for positive contribution to the leaving cert applied. Was super proud of him. The school offered great support. I hope that everyone with dyslexia gets recognition for what their capabilities are, and work on those to promote positive mental health. Hear, hear. I think most people would agree with that there. Please say hello to Patrick Shields in Fannet. He couldn't make it to the official opening today, but sends his best wishes. More than happy to do so there. Sorry I can't make the opening today. It was always nice to see smiling faces when I called. Well done to all. That comes in from Tony McNamee. There's no point me pointing at the ground there, Caroline, so I'll just kick that out. A caller says, if you face additional challenges in secondary education, you are entitled to apply to the Disability Access Route to Education scheme. If successful, you can benefit from a reduced points allocation to get into the college of your choice. Your secondary school should be letting you know that this exists. Mary B. Arkinson from Castle Derg listens to Highland Radio every day. She will be 96 soon. Big shout out from your daughter Anne Ramsey here at Donegal Horizon. Thanks for messaging us in, Anne. And on it goes. Thank you so much for all of your comments coming in so far. This caller says, from the start, the system is broken. The child needs to have a confirmed diagnosis, and the school is only approved for a very small number of educational psychological assessments per year. So most causes go by undiagnosed. Unless the parents identify the need themselves, then pay for a private diagnosis, and then begin the fight for service help. This is off the back of a conversation we were having earlier on about the early detection of dyslexia, and then the supports in schools, and so on. Earlier help needed so children can get support they need from the early age, and then they can progress in school, says another listener there. Another on this topic, Kathleen says, I don't understand why they don't pick up on this over the years. Why at the last minutes? Well, that's what some parents are asking. It fails to make sense for them. Donna says, so many kids are slipping through the national school system because of schools only being allocated so many a year. And once they go to secondary school to get a diagnosis, you have to pay. The support in secondary school is there. You just have to have the paperwork and push for the help they need and deserve for especially coming up for exams. I do genuinely think that there might be just a little bit of a difference dependent on where you are or what school you're engaging with or what the story might be in that regard, because we're getting very different experiences from different parts of the county, so to speak. We were talking about health, of course. We've been talking about health an awful lot this week. You heard an email doing the rounds, which I'll bring to you a little later on the issue of the surgical hub for Letterkenny. We'll get back to that in a moment. I just want to read this. Greg, may I use your show to give a mention to a beautiful situation, isn't it? Myself with another friend went to a small town that I'm not too familiar with to put flowers on my friend's grave. We were peckish and asked asked a lady on the street if there was a restaurant or cafe in town, to which she directed us to McCoy's Caff. What a beautiful experience we had. The food was beautiful, but the waitress was even more beautiful. A big shout out to Kaylee, who was the nicest, most pleasant, smiling, helpful waitress I've ever met. And I used to be a hotel manager for many years. Thank you, Kaylee, for making our sad mission very happy. Right, I can't go out there, Caroline, and so they're doing the official opening now, are they? All right, we'll come back with the official opening from the Horizon Centre here in Letterkenny after the break.
The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
We're watching the scenes at the front here of this wonderful building where the official ribbon cutting is taking place. I see Donal Mandy Kelly, Councillor Donal Mandy Kelly there, and lots of the trainees and staff out there as well. And there's is shining, if you don't mind. So this is the official opening of the centre. The ribbon is just about to be cut. And hopefully you've enjoyed the programme today, because it's been fantastic to be down here and sort of give people an insight into the fantastic work that Donegal Horizons does, not just here in Letterkenny, of course, but also in Carndonagh. They work with 56 people here, and a further 20, I believe, in Carndonagh. And then during the summer, the two organisations can get together and the trainees can work together or have fun together, do whatever they want to do together. You know yourself, there's lots of things organised all of the time. So if you want to watch the ribbon cutting, you can watch it live. Go on to our socials right now, Highland Radio on X, on the Facebook page, and also on YouTube, where you can watch it back a little later on. As I say, the photographers are taking their pictures, and Councillor Donal Mandy Kelly has the scissors ready to go, so to speak, and that official ribbon opening. But come down here if you can before 12 and see what they've got going on here. It is wonderful. And there it is. That is the ribbon cut, and the place is officially open. Fantastic stuff. Well done to all involved. Okay. I think I mentioned that. Right, okay. We have our next guest joining us on the programme shortly. It is Councillor Martin McDermott, of course, because there has been some advances in terms of the defective concrete block scheme. Work always ongoing to try and seek improvements there, but he's just not there at the moment, so I'll come to him in a moment. 086 60 25000, that's the WhatsApp and text number, 086 60 25000, or give us a call on 074 91 25000. And just to remind you, if you want to email the show, it's comments@highlandradio.com. Now, I want to mention a wonderful little initiative we have. It's running exclusively on our social media pages. It's your opportunity to fly, well, you'll know where, from Belfast International Airport, because you have the opportunity to win two return flights from Belfast International Airport to any of their EasyJet destinations, whether it's sun, city, sea. You're after, your next adventure could be just one lucky entry away. So it's in association with Belfast International Airport, and one of you will have the chance to win those two return flights from Belfast International Airport. So if you want to enter, just head over to our socials, follow, like and share for your chance to win. The winner will be announced on Monday, June 9th, so not a million miles away. And please be aware, though, there are fake accounts out there. For some reason, others want to exploit you. They might send you fake messages saying you've won something or other when you haven't, in fact. We will let you know that you've won. We'll contact you, and there'll be no links to click or anything like that there. So please just be extra cautious. Right, okay. We are joined on the programme now via remotely, in fact, by Councillor Martin McDermott. Good morning, Martin. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, good morning, Greg. Yeah.
It's good to have you on the programme. Thank you very much for joining us. Okay, so I suppose we have to say Housing Minister James Brownie came down in listening mode. He said, you know, he had been well briefed on the system, but he wanted to see firsthand what was going on. And a few short weeks later, we are seeing some development of the DCB scheme, it has to be said.
Yeah, that's correct, Greg. The minister came down a few weeks ago, and I think, you know, to be fair, he spent a long time in the county. He listened to all the groups, he listened to ourselves, he listened to the Defective Concrete Block Committee, he listened to us as a party, and he, you know, he certainly took our issues that we had on board. Some of them, as you know, a number of them went to Cabinet yesterday and are now going to go through the Houses of Oireachtas, which they're hoping to have done before the recess in July. And there's still some other outstanding ones that we do have to get dealt with later on this year. But to, you know, to be fair, a lot of the big ones have been hit here, particularly the retrospective payments, which now will be back to the 29th of March.
Can you explain that to me? Right. So if I just have effectively the doors to put on the 1st of April, if that's all I had to do, or it was just signed off the day after, or however that system, the completion of works, is the retrospective grant for all of the works and all the money I spent, or is it any money I spent after that date?
Whatever money that you've spent after that date, so any invoices that you have after the date of the 29th of March, so if your invoices were pre that, they're not included in the increase in rate, but any invoices that you would have incurred, costs incurred after the 29th of March.
All right, and do you think do you think that captures most people?
Yeah, I think it does, Greg, because if, you know, this date was the 23rd of October. Now it's back to the 29th of March, which is an extra 6 months, which will capture quite a lot of people, because at that point there wasn't that very many people in the scheme. There wasn't that many people actually had remediation works done. And, you know, go back to the period of 2023 into 2024, the costs of rebuild were not in excess of what they are today. So it should certainly alleviate a lot of the problems for the vast majority of homeowners that need that retrospective payment and that extra cost per square foot.
We know that there will be some leniency for people to build on a site where the defective house still stands. The wording seems to be that it's going to be the exception rather than the rule. Do you believe there will be very strong criteria on that? I mean, we all know of the, you know, some particular high profile cases in that regard, but I don't imagine us seeing a lot of houses built side by side, or do you?
No, I don't know, Greg. This is something that, you know, to be fair, as a defective concrete block committee and particularly, you know, the staff within the council, and something that I've been trying to push with the department for 3 or 4 years now, probably 5 years actually, for a side-by-side, particularly for people with disabilities. And I've discussed this with lots of families that have children and adults with disabilities, that they should be allowed to build side-by-side where they have the room to do so. And it's something that we've done. As a council, we put together, you know, a submission to the department going back after Christmas of houses that we have on our books that we feel that would be, you know, that would be able to do that. So, you know, it is something that a lot of workers went into, but I do feel that it will it'll be something that'll be quite tight in relation to who's actually going to be able to do that. But it sort of ticks the boxes for what we want to happen. I think it allows families that are in a very difficult situation, that have nowhere else to go, that can't get any accommodation that suits their, you know, their family or the way that they live every day. And this will certainly be a weight off their shoulders to be able to build a house beside the house and then demolish the house after. So
he also met with downgraded homeowners. You know yourself, the plight that they're facing. They're in an appeals process. Are they in an appeals process? They don't know. They seem to have been downgraded in a desktop exercise from Sligo or somewhere else. You know the crack. Any indications about their situations?
No, there doesn't seem to be any indications on that, but that is something that he did say that he would certainly look at, and I've spoken to his officials only yesterday and had that conversation with them about the downgraded homeowners, and that is something that they are engaging with at the minute and looking at. I think, you know, there's probably, you know, we know that the update to the new standard is going to happen very shortly. Well, probably going to be next year now, Greg, at this stage, because it has been extended by another 6 weeks. But whether that standard comes in or doesn't come in, it doesn't really have an influence on those downgraded homeowners. You know, from the very word go, back to before the scheme came out, in before the new scheme came out back in July of 2023, we did have a meeting with the department about the fact that there was going to be a cohort of people moving from council to the housing agency, and we felt that that was wrong at the time. We felt that that should have been all dealt with through the local authority at the time, that there was no people moving from one to another. And if they had to do that at the time, that would have alleviated a lot of the problems, in my opinion. But look, they didn't do that. But I do feel that, you know, those homeowners that have found themselves downgraded to a situation where they're not getting the right remediation that they feel that they should be, and there's certainly a lot of homeowners in that respect. I do think that something needs to happen urgently on that, Greg.
Okay. And just very finally, the significance of the time to complete works going from, you know, just over a year to, 130 weeks.
Yeah, well, that again, the 65 weeks is something that we've been highlighting from the start. It was way too tight. Certainly, it was too tight for a county like Donegal, where we have quite a considerable amount of remediations to do. Now that's been extended now to 130 weeks, and also the 24-week timeline that you had to put in your if you wanted an extension to that has been changed now to 2 weeks. So 2 weeks out from completion, you can extend by another 24 weeks on top of that. So that will be a massive help for homeowners and for contractors as well. It'll give a bit of flexibility, because that has been a problem particularly over the last 3 or 4 months, where homes have found themselves running over that 65 weeks.
Okay.
And also, as part of that legislation that's come through yesterday, there's a few other things on that. The payments to applicants. So there's applicants that have went to the housing agency that have got a remediation, and they have decided to hold on that remediation and get a technical review whenever the new standard comes out. The problem with some of those applicants was that they couldn't then get their fees back because they didn't have a recommendation in writing from the local authority. That's something that we did take up with the department, go back a number of months, and we took up with the minister. That again is going to be fixed in this legislation, what will allow those families to get their money back, their engineers' fees back, because some of those families have been out their engineers' fees for up to 3-4 years now at this stage. So that will certainly help those people to alleviate that. And there's other minor things as well going through legislation for that will make the scheme easier worked for both the local authority and the homeowners.
All right, we'll keep an eye on it, of course, with interest. Thank you very much indeed. I do appreciate your time, Councillor Martin McDermott. Right, we are joined on the programme now by spokesperson for My Way, Sinead, Nick Manman. Good morning to you. How are you keeping?
Good morning, Greg, and good morning to your listeners. And I'm delighted to be with you this morning. So thank you for having me.
We were given a brown bin. It's a tiny little thing. What am I supposed to do with it, Sinead?
So the brown bin, and this week, National Food Waste Recycling Week, is all about educating and informing people on what exactly to do with that question, what to do with your brown bin. So the brown bin, Greg, is essentially it's the unit or the receptacle or the bin that all food waste should go into going forward. So over the last number of years, we've increased across the country the number of households with a brown bin to over 1 million households now. And what we're asking all of those households to do is to continue with the great work that they're doing, and then to ensure that as they go forward, that we put the right materials into the bin, and to really, I suppose, in particular, reduce the amount of contamination that's, I suppose, at the moment going into those food waste or those brown bins.
Now, there was a little bin inside the little bin. It wasn't made clear what that was for. And I'm not being in any way facetious, I hope you understand, but I think a lot of people got these dropped at their doors or have been over the last wee while. So there's a little bin in the little bin. Is it clear what should go where?
Yeah, so there's lots of different systems out there in relation to the way that waste contractors are delivering the bins. So some households get a larger 240-litre bin, and some get a smaller one. So in the, I suppose, the first instance, what I would recommend all householders to do is, if you're unsure about the system that you've been provided, give your waste contractor a call and they will be able to clear it up for you. But just, I suppose, in general terms, what you see with the food waste is where you have the two bins, the larger bin and the smaller bin. So the small bin is the kitchen caddy, and that's the smallest of the bins you receive, and that is placed on your kitchen sink. And then the other bin, the second bin, is the outside or the external bin, and you place your food waste on daily or every second day from your kitchen caddy into your food waste bin outside, and then that's the bin that's presented at curbside for your waste collector to collect.
So what is food waste? It's kind of obvious now if it's the scrapings off a plate, I think, but say things like, I don't know, eggshells, tea bags, bones, for an example, you know, if there's bones, is that all classed as food waste?
Yeah, so everything like that is classed as food waste. So just the quick, I suppose, the top tips, cooked and uncooked meat and fish, and then your leftover plate scrapings, your tea leaves, your tea bags, your eggshells, your leftover apple cores, fruit peelings, vegetable peels, all of those things are considered materials that are suitable for the brown bin from your kitchen. And then in addition to that, Greg, you can also place small amounts of grass clippings or light garden waste into the brown bins as well.
And I suppose it's like everything, isn't it? It's like people that sort of bring something to the bottle bank, and because it's full, they leave it there. If we're going to make effort, it's well to do it right, isn't it? And to try and sort of commit to the whole system and only put in there what should be in there.
Absolutely. And, you know, look, it is very straightforward. But at the same time, we do know and recognise that there's always confusion about these types of things, what goes into your bin and so on. So what we say is just keep in mind, with your bin, no metal, no glass and no plastic. So it's just for your food waste. So what we often see in the bins, Greg, the materials that we're trying to avoid or trying to make sure that don't get into the food waste bins are things like the plastics around your veg. So say if you buy three peppers and you have that soft plastic, we don't want that in the food waste bin. We don't want the tub that your strawberries come in. We don't want the cartons that your milk or your soup comes in, or even, you know, we don't want the tin foil, or we don't want, you know, a little packet, you know, maybe a small tub of hummus with a little bit of leftover hummus. What we're asking the public to do, and householders, including ourselves across the country, is to just scrape away and scrape out what you can, put it into your food waste bin, and then place the plastic item, clean, dry and loose, into your recycling bin.
And look, it's like everything, isn't it? You know, we thought we'd never survive without plastic bags, or we thought we'd never need two bins, you know, one being sort of a recycling bin. You know, we get used to things in a while. After a while, I suppose. So even if it's for, you know, new adopters, you get used to it quite soon, I'd imagine.
You absolutely do. And, you know, there's such a feel-good factor in doing the right thing. And, you know, we're ever increasing the amount of food waste that's being captured. And, you know, it's so important for us, because food waste is a valuable resource, it's so important for us to capture it in a way that's not contaminated, because it can be made into something else. It can be made into compost through various composting processes on the island of Ireland, and also it can be made into electricity from anaerobic digestion plants across the country. So it's really important, I suppose, that we try and capture this valuable resource and keep it out of landfill.
All right, listen, thank you so much for your time, Sinead. I do appreciate it. That is all you need to know about what that brown bin is for. It's pretty obvious, I suppose. But anyway, no harm with a little reminder for you. Okay, we're heading towards the last half hour of the 9 till noon show here live from Horizons, Donegal Horizons. They're opening doors and opening minds and opening opportunities. We'll be back with more from the new centre here in Letterkenny, newly opened. It's been here for a few months after we take a break. Many of you watched on dismayed at the revelations in RTE Investigates Nursing Home Investigations, which was broadcast last evening. Very, very troubling indeed. We're joined on the programme now by Frank Dillon, Head of Communications with Alone, to discuss this. Frank, difficult to put into words what people witnessed last night.
Very difficult and very disturbing. And I suppose the first and foremost, our thoughts are with the older people and the families affected by the events depicted in the programme. Some of the evidence was really shocking.
The concern people have now is, you know, did RTE just happen to stumble on the two nursing homes where this was going on? Or, until they're reassured otherwise, are they now concerned that this could be going on in every nursing home? We know it's not, don't get me wrong, Frank, but programs like this or exposés like this, that's the kind of questions people start asking themselves.
Absolutely, and understandably, it does provoke an awful lot of questions. And when you have the private operator identified in the programme with so many facilities throughout Ireland, in fact, I believe they have two in Donegal, it does leave questions for families. And I think it's a concern, and that's why we have to look to HICWA. And I know the minister was on Morning Ireland this morning quoting that there is an 87% compliance with HICWA regulations.
Frank, you know as well as I do, a lot of those people know those visits are upcoming. Everything looks rosy in the garden. This is what happens in certain facilities when the owners or the managers or the staff don't know what's going on. So can we trust HICWA to be the sort of arbiters to ensure that this isn't happening, or do we need something else to reassure us?
I think what we need, I suppose, in the here and now, in a now soon later approach, yes, we need HICWA to reassure us, and we need them to step up and make sure regulations are enforced. There was another nursing home expert panel that sat after COVID, and they made 86 recommendations, and a lot of them a framework around safe staffing and a skill mix. And that, as of 2025, this year, the framework for safe staffing and skill mix is still in development and is yet to be fully implemented. So there are things we need urgently pushed through. On a longer term scale, we need to have a discussion about the fact that over 1 million people will be over 65 very soon, within the next 5 years. And are we planning, are we putting the right mix in the system? There's a majority of privately owned nursing homes. We need that mix of private, public, and not-for-profit, because that keeps everybody honest when you have that mix.
I can't abide that people are being treated like this. You know, we have to make sure, do we not, and you've just alluded to it, is this a business, or is this about us looking after those who gave so much to this country? You know, not to leave them devoid of dignity and pride and the care that we expect they're getting. You know, like, I heard the minister this morning, and one of the first things he says is that, you know, the majority of care homes, this isn't happening in. He's got no evidence of that, really, as such. You know, so if that's the start point from that person at the top, I don't think that's impactful enough language for those who might be concerned about this.
No, absolutely not. And we saw that the language used in the for-profit sector, where they talk about units and they talk about commodities and they talk about margins. And you're right, it's not how we should treat older people that deserve so much more after a lifetime of work. And let's not forget that these nursing homes aren't doing it for the money involved. It's millions and billions, and the cost through the Fair Deal scheme is in the, you know, hundreds per month for people. So I think we should demand the highest level of respect to be delivered to anyone within their care.
Okay, well, we'll watch on. It's really worrying. And I'll be honest with you, you know, I'm processing footage that's been sent to me from a nursing home here in our county. So that's three, you know, and what else is happening? That'll be going to the people that need to see it, don't get me wrong, but there are whistleblowers all over the place, and I just don't think it's good enough to say that the majority are doing well. They may well be, but we just need something else. We need something to make sure there's a root and branch here.
Absolutely, Greg, absolutely. And can I just say that if anyone's aware of any person experiencing abuse, the first stop is the Garda But our own national support and referral line is available 7 days a week. And just so people are reassured, it's a national support line, but you will talk to somebody in Donegal, and because we have staff all over the country, and there's a Michael runs a great team up in Donegal. If I can give the number, please, I know you're stuck for time, 0818-222-024. That's just for independent advice. But if you know somebody experiencing abuse, please contact the guards.
100%. We have a role as well. Thank you very much indeed. That was a very important conversation, I think, in light of what we saw last night. We appreciate Frank Dillon, Head of Communications with Alone, joining us there. Right, Darren Gibson is Chair of Termin GA Club. Good morning to you, Darren. Thank you so much for joining us.
Morning there, Greg. How are you?
I'm good. Right, the official opening of the clubhouse tomorrow evening. Exciting, exciting times. But take us back. It's the 60s of the last century. Is that right? Is that when Termin was formed? Or
Termin was indeed formed in 1963. A group of very young men at the time got together. Johnny McCafferty, Patrick Hilferty and a few others. And they wanted to get a football club up and running at a time where there was no Gaelic football organisation in Termin. They approached the then primary school principal in Termin at the time and asked to set up the club, and look, the rest, as they say, is history.
Yeah, great club. I don't think any other club likes to see the team bus landing, though. come here, when did the conversation start about the need for improved facilities?
Well, look, I mean, the club obviously has grown quite a bit since those early 1960s. We have a growing community there, obviously on the edge of Letterkenny. We have new people moving into that community all the time. So the facilities that were very helpfully put there by the founding members and successive administrators and executives were no longer adequate to serve the growing community that we had. So the club members got together and said, look, what do we need here in order to kind of fulfil the mission? And the mission, obviously, is the promotion of Gaelic games and culture, and to facilitate lifelong participation in the organisation. So one of the key facilities that we required in order to kind of promote that was a new clubhouse, a new facility that could support the entire community.
And this is the latest success off the pitch, but for a relatively young club and a growing club, it has enjoyed playing success on the pitch as well over the 60-odd years.
We have. Look, I mean, it's been a very kind of progressive movement from the beginning. You know, there was junior championships, intermediate championships. We competed in a few senior championship finals. Unfortunately, we didn't cross the line. Our team, senior team... competed brilliantly at the weekend down in Rathcarn at the All-Ireland Gaeltacht, and whilst the final result didn't go their way, they did a fantastic job representing themselves, representing the clubs, and indeed the families of the community.
I mean, obviously, you know, you need the drive of the club, and the club is the community, and the community is in the club. But often, too, it's about gathering the money together, and you know, there's different streams that you can draw down on that. There's a lot of fundraising goes on. Talk to me about the funding journey.
Yeah, I mean, look, obviously, when you're trying to develop capital facilities, it takes money, and that can only come about with team effort. Both at a public level, where you have the support of state departments, local politicians and national politicians, and indeed community support in terms of funding that as well. So look, we had a couple of funding initiatives in the club, our Club 300. We had a fantastic group of volunteers there supporting that. We have our bingo committee in Termin, who work tirelessly every Friday night to continue with that fundraising initiative, and indeed we had a number of other fortunate events where we were able to kind of secure private investment into the concept that we were looking to develop as well.
And what it is it's foundations for the future, isn't it? I mean, obviously it's the here and now, but it allows the club to grow further and develop further and service the community and the club's members more into the future.
Well, I mean, that's exactly what it's about. I mean, the GAA promotes a brilliant message. Again, it's the promotion of Gaelic games and culture, and there's a real purity and there's a real goodness about that message. And Termin GAA, like other units of the GAA all around the county and all around the country, just want to continue that good work and promote that good message, those good values of teamwork, volunteerism, community identity, and engaging the entire community as well. And it's fantastic that we're sitting down here and at the opening of this event today, the New Horizons event, which adds to that engagement and getting everybody in the community involved. And I'm delighted to be sitting here beside our number one Termin supporter, young Anthony Galler as well, who's been at the forefront of our celebrations over the course of the last couple of months.
Come into that mic, Anthony. Are you looking forward?
All right.
Are you? Oops, I forgot how. I remember how you've strung your voice was before. Are you going to get along to the opening tomorrow?
Aye, opening for the Bedford with down here and Kevin Caffrey and everybody else. You know, Termin and yeah.
Have you seen the new building yet?
No.
So you're going to see it tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm seeing with my mum and my dad.
Brilliant. Are you the biggest fan?
I am, yeah.
All right, okay, good stuff. Listen, well done. And it's 6:30, the start time, for the official launch tomorrow. There's a who's who there of who's turning up, the dignitaries, and of course, you know, from within the club but outside the club, you've got some good names coming tomorrow, Darren.
Yeah, look, I mean, we'll have some of the senior leadership team within the GAA and the county, the county committee, which is fantastic. We'll have representatives of both the GAA at national level, at provincial level, and indeed the LGFA at national level and provincial level. And it's only right that those people should be there as well, because it's very much their success as well as the members of the club and Termin.
Yeah, and it's for Donegal GAA too. All the clubs can see what can be done and what have you. Listen, brilliant stuff. Good luck with that. Is it generally open tomorrow at 6:30 for people to come up
generally
and have
open,
a look through the facilities and maybe join in the...
Absolutely. Everybody's welcome to come along. There'll be a number of underage games on the main pitch. Our under 10 boys, under 10 girls will be playing there, and we'll have our under 13 boys and under 13 girls playing an exhibition match on the training field at the back, and people will get an opportunity to walk around, have a look at the facilities, and see the good work that has been done by the volunteers.
You better give this young man a special tour.
Well, Anthony's going to be number one. There's no doubt about that. He'll be the first
Anthony.
Man through the building.
That's you, Anthony.
We've even kind of here working Candela, and when I told you in this and starting your eyes,
yep.
There's two several Kermit Dermot starting to ban.
But you were one of the Stavros.
Yeah, Stavros
twins.
With Jimmy,
aye. Yeah. You didn't win, though.
No, I'll ban it.
Okay, good stuff. All right, both of you, listen, thanks very much. Good luck with that. And well done to you, Darren. A lot of work. I mean, someone else would need to be here to talk about the efforts you've put in relation to this and sourcing funding. But I've been getting messages saying that it would have been very difficult to do this without you. So well done to you, Darren, and all the team.
Thanks, yeah, absolutely a team effort, Greg.
Any round of applause for Termin? No? Do I hear any boos? No boos. All good. All right, listen, thanks very much, Anthony. Thank you very much, Darren Gibson, Chair of Termin GAA Club. Have a fantastic evening tomorrow. It's a fantastic achievement. And, you know, tomorrow is the culmination of, you know, one original meeting and everything that happens then to get to where it'll be tomorrow. Okay, our last segment of the 9 till noon show here live from Donegal Horizons coming up shortly. Bill McIntyre is chair of the board of Donegal Horizons, works with management and staff to make sure everything works. So I think you're doing all right.
I think it's going well. Thank you for being here today,
Greg. I think
you're
doing good. No, it's our pleasure to be here. It's been wonderful. So yeah. Delighted to be invited and to get down here and to celebrate some of the positives in our community as well. It's great to be able to strike that balance, Bill.
Yeah, it's great to have the support of communities and the GAA club, football clubs and all here today to see how well that we're knitting into the community, which is a very important part for people with intellectual disabilities, because it's hard to get through to people, and this is a way of doing it. And definitely Donegal Horizons are definitely doing that and breaking through, and they're making a lot of friends along the way,
it's also good to see the trainees prosper and to put a spotlight on them and to show what they're achieving.
I think it's most important for the trainees to have a say in what goes on, and that's what I like about Donegal Horizons, is that the trainees have a say in everything that they do. So we're only doing what the trainees want us to do, and I think that's the most very important part.
Bill, you've been working with people with disabilities for much of your life, haven't you?
Yeah.
Why have you dedicated so much of your time to that end?
It's just a different way of life. I got involved with Special Olympics and over 30 years ago, and I've sort of been attached to it since that. I was coaching and other things, and just the no pressure and the involvement and the love and the satisfaction that you got out of doing it, and the satisfaction of seeing the happiness on the faces of all the trainees and athletes that you work with. It's just unreal. Money can't pay for it, like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, if you ever needed motivation, there it is.
Exactly. Yeah. You see it every day and you feel it every day, and it's a great thing to have, so it is.
Your son Julian also avails...
Stepson Julian.
Okay. He avails of services in Strabane, is that right?
He does, yeah. He left Nagavo School at 19. Mm-hmm. He's 36 now, and he's been with New Horizons in Strabane since then.
So how many New Horizons are there then? So we know there's one in Carn, there's one here, Strabane, where else?
There's three, that's our three.
The Holy Trinity.
Right round, just... Yeah. You
know. All right, and is there... We heard a little earlier on about how, you know, there's combined events between Carndonagh and Letterkenny. Is there Strabane? Is there get-togethers between the three?
They have football competitions, sports competitions all around the place, and they would meet regularly to go to do sports activities and centres and stuff like that. So, I mean, the socialising part of it is essential, and I think that's a great way of socialising through sport.
And your stepson Julian's story is a familiar one, isn't it? Because, you know, obviously it's the camaraderie, the friendship, but it's also the opportunities that have come from that to work in the community, the broader community, and to grow as an individual and to achieve everything he's capable of achieving.
That's the important part of it, that they're getting out and being seen, and getting the chance to feel part of the community and feel as if they're working. You know, that has worked to them, and we really appreciate the chances that everybody gives them, because our trainees are people, and they deserve everything, so they do.
Yeah, for sure. Seamus, it's been a great day.
It's been unbelievable, yeah, and all thanks to yourselves.
No, kind of putting it out there. Whoa. Reverse, big fella. No, we're only passengers here. We've only just come down to observe and help promote the fantastic work that you and all the teams do here. You know, this is an honour for us to be involved in something like this in any way, shape or form. Seamus, this is all down to you guys and the brilliant staff here and the smiley, happy people that are here day in and day out. We're going to get a sample of it, but you know that this is the way it is every day.
Definitely, and it's great to see the likes of the ladies' footballers and the men's footballers and the councillors all getting in here to see what we see every day, and they get to see that there too.
Yeah, okay, indeed. And what's the plans for the summer? Like, do you follow any... Do you follow, like, you know, the school terms or what have you, or what weight? I know it's everyone's here is over 18, right? Don't get me wrong, but, like, do you keep the same regular format throughout the year, or what happens in the summer or what?
So we go into a summer program. We work through the summer now. We get 2 weeks off in the middle of the summer, but we go into a different program now. It's more of, like, a relaxed kind of... We go in trips and stuff like that there, and... that's starting now in a couple of weeks' time, and that'll go on for the summer then.
Anything exciting planned? There's lots of exciting planned, but anything...
A few trips now out to the likes of Glen Bay and some of the beaches and stuff like that there. Yeah. So, like, there's loads happening now.
Fantastic stuff. And, you know, it's a pleasure to watch on, Bill, isn't it? The likes of Seamus here, we heard from Anne and all the other staff that were too shy to come on. It's an amazing team, Bill, isn't it? Sorry, Bill. Go ahead. Yeah.
We're so privileged to have management and staff working. And I think the highlight of the night, the time for me, it was the Stars in Your Eyes show.
Yes, everyone loved that.
When you see the camaraderie between the trainees and the staff and the way they all work together, it just made me so proud. to be involved with this organisation.
How did you book Seamus?
I don't know how. Seamus does a great job here all the time. All the staff's the same. So,
okay, great stuff. Well, Bill, listen, thank you very much for your time. I really do appreciate it.
And thank you, Highland Radio, for coming out here today.
It is literally what we do. It's our pleasure. And Seamus, listen, any final words from you? We're wrapping things up now.
No, well, I'd just like to thank everyone for coming down here today and to see what we actually do here and to see our new premises. And hopefully we're just going to keep building on what we have here.
All right, well done, Seamus. And well done to everyone at Donegal Horizons and their colleagues in Strabane as well and colleagues in Carndon. It's been an absolute pleasure to be here today. We're going to be back from the studio tomorrow morning, on Friday morning, of course, that is. If you missed any of today's show, watch it back on YouTube or on Facebook because it's been an absolute delight. But from all of us here at Donegal Horizons in Letterkenny, enjoy your Thursday. Any chance of one last final round of applause? No? Yeah. Yay! All right, have a great day, everyone, and stay safe and stay tuned. John Bresson's Around the Northwest next. Have a great day.